Previously on Coffee with Kenobi.
It's the kind of big reaction to a little bit of information. We have like maybe 12, 15 yes. words we've heard from Alden. not the way the right. actor creates a character. So, I mean, it's not that long. We'll get the whole thing. And, you know, then we can freak out and overreact. So, I don't know.
This is Vanessa Marshall, Harrison Dula from Star Wars Rebels, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to show number 110 of Coffee with Kenobi, your spoiler-free place for Star Wars discussion, analysis, and rhetoric. I'm your host, Dan Z, sipping a medium brew from my Ice Planet Hoth mug from Disneyland. Thank you so much for joining me today as we sit back and have some Star Wars conversation. We hope to make you think about the mythology of Star Wars in a whole new way, and maybe laugh a little bit in the process. On today's show, Aaron Harris and Corey Helton join us as we give our initial thoughts on the Star Wars Rebels episodes Jedi Knight and Doom. Tom has the latest Star Wars news. In the coffee chat, I talk with Corey a little bit more about Youtini, a Star Wars subscription box service. So pull up a chair, grab your favorite coffee mug, and let's have some coffee with Kenobi.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
I'm currently 4 miles into my Run Disney Star Wars virtual half marathon training, and this is awesome because I have wanted a Star Wars Run Disney medal for a long time. I'm not able to just fly down to Orlando right now and to make that happen, so in the meantime, plus is a good incentive to train, they've announced this virtual medal that you can get. And you don't run the entire half marathon at once. You don't have to, you can. I'm not going to. I'm not ready for that just yet. Just yet. Maybe someday. I train just by running a couple miles 3 times a week. And it's great because you can do it, as long as you do it between now and the middle of March, you're going to earn your medal. Now, they mail it to you anyway. You pay to be a participant for the virtual half marathon. But I couldn't do that. I couldn't do something like that without actually earning it, because otherwise it's just another trinket that I hang up in my Coffee with Kenobi studio, which is fine, but I want it to mean something. So since they let you piece it together, I think that's amazing. It's a great looking medal. It has Poe from The Last Jedi in it, so it's really, really slick. And when I get that thing, I'm going to be so excited because I feel like it's something that I had to force myself to do. And I just think it's really, really great. It's a great incentive. And so far, I mean, it's just a few days in, and it's not easy, of course, but I'm enjoying it, so it's great. Another thing that Star Wars does to enhance my life, it's helping me get into better shape. Also, we have a brand new website, a complete redesign. Massive, massive thanks to Brian Cameron from Fanthatrax for his help in making this happen, and to Corey Club, of course, for providing input on some of the design and the coloring features. This website, as I said, is much more visual. It has gorgeous graphics, and there's much more emphasis on the posts themselves. We still have our banners on the homepage, but on the posts and the other different things that are on the website, there are no banners. It's just all about the content and the graphics, bringing more of our amazing bloggers, emphasis on our different podcasts and podcast network, and I'm really, really happy with it. It's finally at a place where I feel at peace with it. I've done a lot of tweaking and adjusting, chatting with Corey, Ryan, and asked my wife some opinions. But it looks great, so check it out and let me know what you think. Now let's transition to something that definitely is the real deal through and through. Harry's razors. What do I love about Harry's razors? Well, honestly, the shave is great. I love the feel of the razor that they send. The shaving gel is great. It's just very convenient, very easy, and very affordable. Harry's is all about a great shave at a fair price, which is why over 3 million guys have switched to Harry's. Jeff and Andy are two ordinary guys who are fed up with getting charged an arm and a leg for razor blades, so they started Harry's to fix shaving. And Harry stripped out the unnecessary features like a vibrating handle, heating blades, 15 lubricated strips, etc., and the unnecessary cost to deliver customers one perfect razor at an amazing price. A good shave honestly comes down to good blades, as you know, so Harry's owns this factory, which is great, because that means they're able to deliver amazing quality blades for just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. and all products are backed by a 100% quality guarantee. Harry's is so confident you're going to love their blades, they're going to give you their trial shave set for free when you sign up for Harry's at harrys.com/CWKFamily. Claim your free trial offer from Harry's today. A $13 value for free when you sign up. Just cover that $3 shipping. Your free trial set includes a weighted ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, which I mentioned before, smells really, really good, lathers up great, and a travel blade cover. To get your free trial set, go to harrys.com/CWKFamily right now. That's harrys.com/CWKFamily.
So who talks first? You talk first. I talk first.
Joining us today for a cup of coffee is the host of Rebels Reactions, Aaron Harris.
Hey, Dan. Good to be back. How you doing?
It's doing great. This is a deja vu moment because not only did we just do this, but we have had the good fortune of having you on the show many times. And of course, you are the host of Rebels Reactions, which is one of the main reasons why we're having you on the show, because there's a lot to talk about. And because it is such a special show, we have also with us Corey Helton, the CEO of Utini.
How's it going, man?
It's going well. Welcome. This is your first appearance on Coffee with Kenobi.
It is. I am stoked to be here. I really appreciate you guys having me on.
Oh, of course. So this is what we're going to do with this. We're going to take two segments of the show, and we're going to dedicate, because there are two episodes from Star Wars Rebels, we're going to talk about Jedi Knight, N-I-G-H-T, and then Doom. We are going to basically take these two episodes, and this is not going to be a full-on reaction as far as like an actual review. That is what Rebels Reactions is for. But we're just going to kind of do some initial quick hits because there's a lot to kind of process, because we as a collective fandom have had quite a, and this is where we give our spoiler warning. Now, Coffee with Kenobi is a very anti-spoiler show. We know this, but we are going to talk about these two shows. So if you are have not seen them yet and you want to check them out first, please pause. We'll wait here for you. And when you come back, we'll be ready to talk. Okay. Let's talk, guys, about, now this is the episode where it's basically very Kanan and Hera centered. And I can't even say it out loud, Aaron. Tell us what happened.
You know, it was a hard episode to digest. It essentially, after professing their love for each other, Kanan sacrifices himself to save the Ghost Crew. I still have a hard time digesting this, and it's something that I knew inside and in my brain. I had wrapped around the fact that it was probably going to happen by the end of this series. But to have it happen now, with still a couple episodes left, it caught me off guard, to say the least.
Yeah, I was just going to say for sure. I mean, I was kind of shocked that they dropped that in so fast. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I mean, it was the first episode of the second half of the season. I don't know. It just seemed, man, it was out of left field. Like, we knew it was going to happen, but it just felt so sudden. I don't know. I just feel like I had my heart ripped out. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was just like, did this actually just happen? Like, is this a joke? Is it going to turn around? And it was just like a classic, you know, Star Wars cartoon. No, just kidding. He's not really dead. He's back, you know, it's beginning of the next episode, but no, man, like they really drove it home that it seems like he's actually dead.
Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind that he is gone. And he had to. I mean, if you watched Rebels Recon on Star Wars' YouTube channel, Dave Filoni even said this is something that had to happen, but not necessarily because he's the last Jedi, but does just seem to be right for his arc. And when they showed the clips in that Rebels Recon of Freddy getting teary-eyed, I mean, it's pretty special because the entire cast found out about this together. They recorded their show, and then the last couple of pages of the script Filoni purposefully left out of their script. So when they read them, well, first of all, what he did is he opened up a kind of a storyboard that he drew, showing them what was going to happen. Emotional. I wasn't in the room, and I don't know if they'll ever show footage of that, but It was tough just because we love Kanan so much. Because on Star Wars Rebels talking points for the website, coffeewithkenobi.com. And basically, this is what needed to happen because Kanan has come full circle, right? He was, we know from A New Dawn, on John Jackson Miller's book, where very, very kind of reckless and very much scarred, and PTSD was very heavy because of him surviving Order 66 and the Witcher be killed. And then he basically finds his way back into the Jedi fold. And at first he's very reluctant, and then he takes on the mantle. He becomes a mentor to Ezra Bridger, loses his sight, and then he comes back stronger than ever, probably. And then at the end, he has that ceremonial moment that I think we need to talk about. Kanan's haircut and shave, what did you guys make of that? Because it's more than just some grooming. There's so much more to
sure,
it than that.
Sure. I definitely knew something was up as soon as they shared that. I think that was like the first, I was like, this is too, they made too big of a deal out of it, you know, like for it to be not meaningful. I thought it was really clever.
Oh, it was very clever. And it was quite an impactful moment for the character too. I mean, cutting it, and this ceremony, cutting the hair with that knot off, just like you would see, I've seen in so many samurai movies. It just the way he held the knife when he picked it up. He didn't just grab it. He had it pinned between both hands.
Yeah,
there was a lot of symbolism going on in this scene that just tells a story in and of itself.
Yeah, it's a symbolic life-altering change, meaning this character is ready to go to a new place. And what he does, you know, first of all, he makes himself look like he did when he first met Hera. That's what Dave said on Rebels Recon. But it's all they're changing to go to a new phase of their life. And I think for Kanan, he realizes because of what's at stake, you know, there's always been a lot at stake with this, the rebellion, the burgeoning rebellion. But I think he knows that when he's going to rescue Hera, because of where Thrawn is and where the Empire is at this point, he's closer to the end of his life than he is the beginning. So it's very much like he makes peace with that. In fact, at the end, when he contains the explosion with the Force and Hera runs out to try to stop him and he pushes her back, and of course his vision comes back at the end. Now, there's a lot of symbolic nature that's going on with it. But one thing that I think that it does show is, yes, he sees Hera for the last time. Yes, that's true. And that's very poignant. But I think more importantly than that, he sees himself. He sees himself in her. And I think he finds true peace and true purpose, to borrow a phrase from The Last Jedi. And I think that's why his vision is restored, because he's complete again. This is what he was meant to do. This is what he ran from for so many years when he was resisting his Jedi heritage. And now he's pulling the ultimate Jedi sacrifice. And I think that's why, many reasons why that's so special.
I can't agree with you more on that. It's exactly what it is. He's finally come back full circle and is embracing who he is. And it's in that sacrifice that he finds himself. And what's going to be interesting is to see personally is how Ezra handles this sacrifice. Because for so long, Ezra has been dependent on, even though he's made decisions, he's been very dependent knowing Kanan's backing him up on everything. And now he doesn't have that. So it's going to be interesting to see how this character progresses as well.
It's something else I thought that was very interesting that probably had a little more depth than I think it initially let on, is the fact that Kanan lost his lightsaber sort of in the middle of all that combat stuff. I thought it was very
good point.
Very, very interesting that he dropped it and then didn't get it back. You know, it's a pretty classic Star Wars move to drop your lightsaber, then get it back at the most opportune moment. But that didn't happen. He didn't get it back. In fact, it was in the hands of the governor there in that episode. So
Governor Price, I don't know. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I thought that was very interesting.
And he didn't really seem to have a get up. And I think that was because, I mean, let's think about what a lightsaber is. A Jedi, it's the weapon, right? Obi-Wan Kenobi tells Anakin in episode 2, this weapon is your life. But for Kanan, it's not his life. His life, more than anything, is his friends. And what he does is very Jedi, but it's also very much about love and selflessness. And he spent a lot of years being selfish. He obviously went away from that through most of Rebels. I think that's fair to say. But his life is Hera, and his life is his friend. So that's why I don't think he even bats an eyelash. Well, Corey, I really like you pointing that out, because it is symbolic, because his focus is elsewhere.
Sure, sure. And the Jedi are so, you know, their thing is the Force, but they keep the lightsaber as if it's, you know, part of them. So for him to just sort of completely let go of the lightsaber like that, and not even really seem to fight for getting it back in hand, and just completely rely on the Force in those last couple scenes, was just very, very beautiful. I really like the way that they it really was symbolic of his sort of embracement of the Force, of his Jedi path, kind of like you're saying.
Sure. And Aaron, like you said, the ceremonial aspect of the shave and the haircut is it's like he knows it's coming. It's his acceptance. And I cannot wait to talk to Freddie about that for sure. Let's talk a little bit about the, and I don't want to go too much into what happens in Doom, at the beginning of Doom, because we'll talk about that in the next segment here really quickly. But Hera's initial reaction at the end of Jedi Knight, how was that for you, Aaron? I know that had to be tough.
Yeah, it was very tough. It was, you know, she had just admitted that she loved him, told him, and they had shared that special moment, and that, you know, everybody, every fan of this show has been waiting for forever. And it was just, it was very gut-wrenching. Just the look on her face, the way Vanessa performed her lines. I mean, it still tears me up thinking about that. I think she's going to have a lot to deal with over the next several episodes. This is something that's definitely going to have such a huge impact on her going forward. It's going to be interesting to see how she overcomes it.
And we certainly see some glimpses of that for Doom. So let's just go ahead, first break, and we're going to come back and talk about the next Star Wars Rebels episode we're going to be discussing on show 110, Doom. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi is sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, The Last Jedi, and much more. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting App from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. Before we get on with the show, I want to thank our Patreon contributors who have done so much for our Coffee with Kenobi family. And I'm talking about people like Ben Elkington, Terry Lee, Dennis Keithley, Aaron Harris, Angela Souse, Daz Davies, Mediocre Jedi, Tyler Wiggins, Christo Hayding, Christian Dale, Jason Hall, Brian McKinney, Connie Shee, Mike Audette, Jared Cantor, BJ Smith, Eric Struthers, Nick Deco, Mark Suter, and so many more. What Patreon does is it helps contributors, and for Coffee with Kenobi, what that means is you help us with the audio equipment, all the things we're doing with our YouTube channel now, travel that we try to do to bring you conversation from all around the world, and it's just been so helpful because of each of you. And there are things that you get out of this as well. For $5 or more a month, you get recognition from me at the start of the show, just like you just heard, and we will follow you from CWK on Twitter. $10 or more a month, you get access to our Discord page, which has this awesome app, and you can get notifications when there's breaking news or someone has a Star Wars thing they want to talk about. We'll all find out about it right away, courtesy of our mobile phones, and then we can have that conversation right away. There's also coffee mugs, t-shirts, host a show with me once, twice, or four times in 1 month. There's a lot that goes into it. And Patreon has a brand new thing called Lens. And what it basically is sort of like InstaStory, but it's just for Patreon members. And for example, the other day, I showed pictures of my studio and a little bit of me talking on a video about an upcoming show. There are just different things I can do, different ways I can communicate with you and show you behind the scenes and special stuff that only you will get access to. So if you want to help out the show and be even more ensconced in Coffee with Kenobi and what we do here for our little show, go ahead and check out the Patreon page on our website or via the show notes. Thank you so very much. Okay, we are back, and the Star Wars Rebels talk is still full force. We're going to talk about Doom, which is another very powerful episode, and it's sort of a two-part episode in a way. The first half is how everyone reacts, their initial reactions to the loss of Kanan Jarrus, and the second half takes on a very different Buddhist kind of a tone with Loth Wolfs. But let's talk about the first aspect first. Corey, let's start with you and the characters' reactions to Kanan's sacrifice.
You know, one of my favorite themes in Star Wars, period, is I love to see the underdog find their motivation and just totally rise up and just kick butt. That's really like one of my favorite things. And we see that over and over again whenever Rebels are depicted, whether it's in the Rebels TV show, whether it's in Rogue One. I just love that story. It's really one of my favorite stories in Star Wars, is when people face tremendous loss and just are able to completely overcome it. And I really like the very slow progression of the way they did it in this episode, because it wasn't like it is in a lot of other Star Wars stuff. Like, they didn't just flip a coin and, oh, he's dead. Okay, let's go kick butt now. Like, it wasn't that at all. I mean, I kind of thought they were going to give up and leave there for a minute. Like, I mean, it was just really slow. Like, we need time to process our grief. Like, I would like to see all that attention brought to that sort of aspect. So I think it really added an interesting dynamic and something that we don't usually get to see very often. And particularly because Rebels is a kid's show, I mean, I think it really is very interesting that they went that route with it.
Aaron, what about you?
Well, Corey's really hit the nail on the head with that. I mean, the way they handled the grief that this crew is experiencing right now was perfect. They handled it perfectly. Hera off on her own, trying to process everything and talk things through with Chopper, and Ezra just wrestling with everything. And of course, Sabine just wants to go blow something up at that point, and Zeb's willing to help her. They're all dealing with you're seeing all different sides of grief that these people are dealing with. And I think it was good to see, because it actually, you know, being a kid show, who knows how many kids that's going to help that are dealing with grief on their own. So it was definitely handled very well. To me, it was just perfectly handled. It was very emotional.
They did not undermine his death at all. And I really appreciated that. They very called attention, like it's okay to grieve. I really appreciated that emotional side of things that we really don't get to see in Star Wars very often.
Truthfully, that is the case, because when grief is handled, you know, it's acknowledged but then it's not the main focus, because there's more battles to be fought. There's more adventure to be had, an escape, and, you know, fun. But the pathos here in this one, I think, might be as heavy as anything we've seen in Star Wars, probably more so, to be honest. Maybe you could make a case for The Last Jedi, but truthfully, they kind of focus on it more than they did Force Awakens in a way. And really, hours-wise, if you actually look at the actual hours of footage from Star Wars Rebels, that's more than in the movies. So I can see where they would do that. And so they were all very pitch perfect, both of you. Sabine runs off. She throws down that TIE fighter helmet and runs away to grieve by herself. And then Ezra and Zeb's reaction, that actually got me more emotional than step when they hug, they embrace. Think about where they were, especially in season one and a little bit of season two. Always at each other's throats, very much, you know, they're not enemies, but they were certainly frenemies and very much like brothers. But in this, they're like mature brothers. And there's love and they comfort each other. And that, like I said, that got me more choked up than anything else. But the ultimate icing on the cake, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, is when Chopper reaches out his little hand and holds Hera's hand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh.
I was going to say, that's the one that got me right there. Everybody knows I'm a huge Chopper fan. And just to see him follow, I mean, he doesn't go about his business. He follows Hera off as she walks away. And just without a sound, just you see that little hand come up and grab hers, and her respond by taking it and squeezing. I mean, that was the low blow. I mean, that was the low blow straight to my gut that actually brought I was already emotional, but that's the one that got me worse than anything. Cause those two have been through a lot together. Over their career, especially knowing how Hera acquired Chopper. You know, if there's any emotion felt by these droids, Chopper knows how she feels, because he was connected to her, the pilot that he crashed with back during the Clone Wars. So he has somewhat, if he has any type of emotion, somewhat knows how she feels, which made that even more powerful to me.
Definitely. I love seeing droids. I love seeing droids have emotions. I was watching a clip recently where George Lucas was talking about the creation of C-3PO for the original series. And he was talking about how he sort of trained everyone to be able to act like a human without being human. And it's subtle movements and subtle sounds, and it's just, I love to see a human aspect brought to droids. And I don't think we've really ever seen droids express emotion. Not like this. I mean, C-3PO, I remember in Revenge of the Sith, I remember when Padme was dying in Revenge of the Sith, C-3PO had some comments, or maybe it was when it became sort of public knowledge that, you know, that the Jedi were bad guys now and they tried to take over the Republic, when that rumor got spread, and Padme starts crying, looking across at the Jedi temple, and C-3PO kind of like just says something. He's probably his classic, oh dear, or something like that. And I love seeing that. Like, that's that human, it's like they understand, but they don't quite understand, but they're, you know, it's like this weird sort of middle area, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. Let's look a little bit more at Hera. And Aaron, you alluded to this at the beginning when we talked about this part or this episode, Doom. But at the beginning, when Hera is full-on vulnerable in a way we've never seen Hera vulnerable, and that's not hyperbole. She's really never shown that degree of vulnerability. But she does something really beautiful and symbolic, I think. Kanan and what is happening, and she takes her Kalachori, which Kanan got when Hera was kidnapped by Thrawn. He got it back for her, and she adds a piece to her Kalachori that is Kanan. It's a triangle. It's got some green on it. It's lovely, and for people who maybe aren't sure what a Kalachori is, it's shaped like kind of a T with some different little squares hanging on either side of the far ends of the T. And it's supposed to represent her family heritage. And it's a sacred thing she could possibly own. It's almost like a wedding ring and a family album and everybody's birth certificates in one, really. And we actually learn a little bit about Hera having a little brother too, which to my recollection, we did not know anything about that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah, I thought so. So this is how she chooses to handle her grief, and it's lovely and healthy. And Chopper kind of helps her come to that realization, because as you guys had mentioned, she told Kanan that she loved him. And ironically enough, when she said that, simultaneously, two things went through my mind. First was, well, of course she does. That's obvious. Yeah. Then the second thing was, wait, she's never said that before. And the fact that Kanan didn't say it didn't even faze me at all, because I think that was a given that he loved her. I mean, very much for her, for everyone. I have loved him. She seemed very focused on the mission. And that was when she's like, wait, this is what I want to say. I love you. And she was serious. Like, she didn't even quite realize that that was something that she needed to say, or that she kind of put into words. I thought that was interesting. She really becomes more human in these two episodes than really we've ever seen her before.
Yeah, absolutely. We see a side of Hera that we have not seen at all throughout these four seasons. This is the most human, most vulnerable, the most, it's a Hera that we knew was buried down there somewhere. But we're finally see it come to life. I mean, she's always been the strong general pilot, best pilot. There is, gets leadership, mother figure for the crew. I mean, she's been that rock in every situation. And to see her in this emotional state, having to deal with this loss and work her way through it, just adds so much to the character of Hera.
And it does.
It takes her to a whole different playing field at this point.
Now, but before we wrap up this segment, because we want to save much more of this conversation for Rebels Reactions, which obviously you need to subscribe to on iTunes if you aren't already doing so. Let's talk about the end of this, because I said when we first started discussing Noom, there really are two things going on here. And the second half is the Loth Wolves and the revelation of what Ezra's next step is. Ezra is frightened. I think he feels like he's lost his compass and Kanan and his purpose, but once he gets out of his own way and realizes there's more to it than just his grief, then the Loth Wolves treat him in such a way where he's not afraid anymore. And that fear may have been projected from him anyway, from his insecurity. And of course, fear leads to the path of the dark side. And the new wolf, let's just call him Doom, for example, he talks a lot to Ezra, and Ezra understands this wolf more than any of the other characters understood any of the wolves. And let's just be clear. I mean, we see the symbol on the forehead of this wolf, do we not?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You can't miss it. It's no, right there on his forehead.
And I'm not saying that this is a Buddhist reincarnation of our favorite cowboy Jedi, but it certainly is at least what they want us to think. Is that fair to say?
I would say so. I mean, it definitely. I mean, he calls himself Doom. I mean, if you go to the episode guide on StarWars.com, they're calling that Loth Wolf Doom. So yeah. They're wanting you to have that impression that this could be Kanan reincarnate.
Right. How do you guys feel about that?
I don't know personally kind of how I feel about it. My one problem, I had that thought too. I was like, are they trying to say that this is Kanan? Because it sure as heck seems like it. But it was just so quick. Like, he was dead and now he's suddenly back already. Like, I mean, can you imagine what it would have been like in Return of the Jedi when Yoda dies and he just like instantly in the next scene where Luke was talking to Obi-Wan, Yoda just showed up and was like, oh, no. Like, that would just be so out of place almost. So I kind of hope that that's not the direction they go. I know that they're pushing. It seems like they're kind of trying to put that in your head, but I kind of hope it's not the direction they go, because it was just sort of, it was a little too fast for me.
Well, the episode gallery on StarWars.com that Aaron referred to, this is what it says. Having wandered the Lothal Plains into the night, Ezra awakens to find a giant Loth Wolf before him. It calls itself Doom, Kanan's birth name. Now, to go on what you were saying, Corey, it does seem they're doing this. I'm not really crazy about this aspect of being reincarnated into a force wolf. I don't know why. Maybe just because it's something that is very new to Star Wars. And I'm not saying that I've completely closed the door to it. And I have faith in Dave Filoni. My goodness, he's a master. He is.
Sure.
And George Lucas. So I'm willing to see where it goes. But right now I'm going to allow myself to be somewhat skeptical. And I think that's okay. I mean, you can't like everything. I don't think that's realistic.
Sure.
And practical. And plus, Doom looks pretty freaky. He looks kind of like the Joker as a wolf, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's a good point.
He's not warm and fuzzy like the initial one. Let's just call her Ahsoka. Just off the top of my head. Yeah.
To play devil's advocate here, I personally don't feel that's what they're wanting us to believe. I don't think that's the route they're going. I
agree. It would be too easy.
Exactly. I think this could be more of a force representation to communicate to Ezra, not necessarily Kanan, but this is the way the force is choosing. You know, the force communicates with the Jedi. This is the way the force is communicating at this point with him, using something, a name and something he's familiar with already.
Right.
And we know Ezra has a strong connection to living creatures. We've seen it all through this series.
Sure.
So it just makes sense that the force would take the form of a creature like this to communicate with Ezra. It at his most desperate, essentially this is his most desperate hour. He has no guidance. He has no clue what to do. He has no idea what's going to happen next, or much less if there is something to do next. So he's lost. And this to me is the force coming to him to try to guide him where to go. This is a force's way of guiding him.
I agree. And I hope you're right. I think that's also true. Like, they wouldn't telegraph this stuff. It would come a little more out of nowhere. And I think I can't wait till the next episode. I mean, we say that often, but I mean, there's not that many left. There's only five left technically anyway. I really wish these were just one a week instead of two a week, but hey, I respect it. We're getting it and we get to see a conclusion to the series. So that is a great thing. So we'll go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, Tom will have the news. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Vanessa Marshall, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi.
Let me give you a task. Pick out a wine that you're going to love, but there is a catch. It has to be one you haven't had before. Now, where would you start? Introducing Wink, spelled W-I-N-C. Wink's name actually comes from the combination of wine plus incorporated, so you have wine plus ink equals Wink. Wink makes it easy to discover a great wine. Because Wink's wine experts select wines matched to your tastes, personalized for you, and shipped right to your door, starting at just $13 a bottle, Wink makes exploring new wines fun and easy with delicious wine based on your taste delivered right to your doorstep every single month. There's really nothing like that first time you come home to a box of four bottles of wine selected just for you. All you have to do is you fill out Wink's palate profile quiz. You'll answer simple questions like, how do you take your coffee? How do you feel about blueberries? Things like that. And then Wink will send wines curated to your tastes. The more wines you rate, the more personalized your monthly selections. And each month, there are new, delicious wines, like the insanely popular Summer Water Rosé. There are no membership fees, you can skip any month, and you can cancel any time. Plus, shipping is covered. And if you don't like a bottle they send you, they will replace it with a bottle you love, no questions asked. With online ordering, quick shipping, and personalized recommendations, Wink makes discovering wine really, really easy, and you're going to love it. You're also going to love the Wink Journal, which is included with every wine each month. It gives you recipes to pair with your wines, info about the selections curated for you, and it has a great design, making it perfect for the coffee table. It's really, really easy to go to a store and settle for the same old bottle of wine that you like. It leaves you kind of eh, but it's so much easier to let Wink ship wine right to your door that is perfectly matched for you. So sit back and relax or celebrate with your glass. You have finally discovered the best way to find new wines that you'll love with Wink. Discover great wine today. Go to trywink.com/CWKfamily and you'll get $20 off your first shipment. That's trywink.com/CWKfamily, all one word, for $20 off. Trywink.com/CWKfamily.
The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app features incredible images from many aspects of the saga, including the original trilogy, the prequels, The Clone Wars, Rebels, The Force Awakens, and Rogue One. It's the quality you have come to expect from Topps. It's also easy to get into and really fun, too. Your favorite Star Wars characters, scenes, and moments are in every pack. To get started, download the app for free from iTunes or Google Play, and then be sure to open the app each day for free credits to spend on card packs from the Cantina. Plus, if you can't get what you're looking for, there's a place to trade with your friends as you complete your Star Wars collection. And if you're an experienced collector, there are exclusive cards, special inserts, and autograph opportunities for you to enjoy. Don't worry about missing the cards and sets you want either, as you can sign up for notifications right on the app. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps can be downloaded for free from iTunes or Google Play. Be sure to download the app and start your collection today. The Star Wars Digital Card Trader collecting app from Topps is available now. And remember, these are the cards you're looking for.
It is the midway point of the show, which means Tom is here to bring us the latest Star Wars news. Tom, what's going on?
Well, good evening, and here is the news. ABC News Online Features premiered a new streaming feature this week titled Force of Sound. In this mini documentary from ABC, they feature the sound studios at Skywalker Ranch and their work on The Last Jedi. This feature includes interviews with Rian Johnson, sound designer Ren Kleiss, and supervising sound editor of Skywalker Ranch, Matthew Wood, along with a host of other sound creators. We get a behind-the-scenes look at several sounds in The Last Jedi, including some of the unique items or situations the sound folks go in order to find some of the most famous sound effects in the galaxy. We also get a sound-by-sound, layered breakdown of the scene where BB-8 is being filled with coins at the casino on Canto Bight. Remember that? I will say it is quite amazing to realize how many layers of unique sound effects go into a simple 6-second transitional clip. The ABC feature is just over 26 minutes in length and can be found on the ABC News website, or for a direct link, check the Coffee with Kenobi website under News and Info tab.
Well, thank you for the plug, sir.
Absolutely.
So I haven't gotten a chance to see it yet. So how long did you say that it was?
It's 26 minutes long.
I'm definitely going to have to check it out. So, that sounds awesome.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Well, it's Skywalker Ranch, so you can't beat that. Now, is this going to be a regular feature? Or?
So ABC News, what I gathered is ABC News Features, that's the title of it. They do these mini documentaries from time to time, and this time just happened to be Skywalker Ranch and the sound crew at the ranch. And so I don't believe it's planning to be a regular Star Wars feature, but it'll, you know, they do their documentaries along the way. But it was so interesting to watch. And of course, with it being the topic of sound, of course, they really put a feature on the silence and the little sounds that go along with it. They also analyze, and Rian Johnson talks about, I take that back. I can't remember if it was Rian Johnson or Matthew Wood talk about the scene of silence from The Last Jedi. And they had a debate over what sound like a vacuum sounds like. Because, you know, when you think about all the different possibilities of what a vacuum could sound like, they were taking multiple interpretations. And finally, Rian said, just silence. And he's like, oh, silence. So Rian's concept was as shocking to the sound people as it was to us sitting in the theater.
That's really cool. See, I never understood the fact that people weren't sure what happened with the sound. Like, I knew, oh, I think this must be something powerful and important because the sound is gone. And I guess I could see where people would think there was something wrong. But the moment it happened and the way that it happened, it just seems so poignant. I mean, think about it. Star Wars is probably one of the loudest franchises in film history. And they picked that moment for silence, which I think speaks volumes too.
Yeah, because space silence is not a Star Wars thing. It's a Star Trek thing. You're not supposed to do that. So everybody was mad about it, I guess.
And Dan, we were together in that first showing here in Peoria, and I didn't feel like our audience really felt that way. I felt there was just a a sucking of air from all of us when that happened.
Oh, yeah. I love hearing those types of moments in theaters, like at opening premieres, because like you really get to experience the emotion of the audience. And that's exactly how it was at our theater, too. It was a big IMAX theater, totally packed. It was just a big collective, like from the whole audience. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, it's the same at my theater. Everybody just you could feel the air suck out of the room when that went silent. It just made the whole scene that much more powerful.
Well, I guess I should say no. I actually haven't seen the movie yet, but I'm sure it'll be really good.
Oh, sorry.
Spoiler alert.
I thought you were there.
Yeah, I was.
Oh,
anyway,
okay.
What else is going on?
Well, moving on, there were several toy announcements for Star Wars at the New York Toy Fair this last weekend, so here's a little roundup of a few of the announcements. Mighty Mugs announced three new figures from the Star Wars franchise, which are Maz Kanata, Captain Phasma, and C-3PO. Now, if you recall, the Mighty Mugs feature three facial features for each figure, and when you press down on the head, it switches expressions. So the most unique one that I saw was Captain Phasma. And as you turned her head, her mask is cracked on one of them, which I really thought was pretty cool. Then Hasbro came with lots of new reveals, of course, for the convention, including the new Solo Black Series figures, including, of course, Solo, Tobias Beckett, Kira, Lando, and a Range Trooper. Along with the figures, there will be a new Nerf. Some new Nerf blasters, including Han Solo's pistol, a new set of blade builders, and how could I forget the new, or I suppose old, pre-special modification, Millennium Falcon from the Solo film. But maybe the biggest news from Hasbro was Hasbro's own version of a Kickstarter called HasLab. HasLab will offer up experimental, much-wanted toys that never came out in the past because of the unique, kind of niche fan base for each one of them. For example, the first project announced for HasLab is a 3¾-inch scale figure-sized Jabba barge. What does it take to complete the design and have this barge run into production? Well, just 5,000 pre-orders at the price of $499.99 for the 49-inch long, 17-inch high, massively detailed barge that would definitely be the centerpiece of any collection.
So wait, let me make sure I understand this. So for them to put this into production, they need 500 pre-orders. Is that correct?
5,000.
5,000.
Oh, five. Oh, that's no problem.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So before we get into the notion of spending $5,000 on the thing, which is lovely. I mean, I'll give you that. But guys, we're all married. Would that still be the case?
Would it be the case for me if I did that?
Yeah. So I don't collect the toys, but the last time I brought it up that I was like, hey, these are really cool. I should start getting in this. My wife was just like, she just looked at me like she didn't have to say anything. It was just the end of the conversation.
Yeah, I think it would be like, what you talking about, Willis?
Yeah. How much is this thing again? Is it $500?
So it's $500 and it needs 5,000 pre-orders.
I see.
Yeah.
This is unusual. I don't know. Does this happen very often with
never? It's never
crowdfunding. I mean, that's so like amateur almost. I mean,
I understand what you're saying. I was a little surprised. I mean, what I will say, is it's very bold. It's a very, very bold thing by Hasbro. And I appreciate that, you know, to a degree, because wow. You know, I mean, first of all, is there a Star Wars toy that you would spend? I mean, it's obviously huge and gorgeous. Is there a Star Wars toy you would spend $500 on? Yeah, all things being equal, let's say you did have $500.
The Lego Millennium Falcon might get.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never.
That would be my vote as well.
I mean, you can make a coffee table out of that thing. I mean, I guess you could the Jabba's skiff too, though. I don't know. Maybe it's a marketing ploy thing.
Oh, very. It very much is.
Oh yeah.
And look, full disclosure: Hasbro has been amazing to Coffee. It's going to have been very generous.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Cool. No way that they're going to send me that. But that's okay. For one thing, I don't have my office I've spent, I just went through another round of this over the weekend, but I've sold over a third of my collection to make room, because I started realizing, hey, I've got all this stuff. I don't even have it out to look at. I shouldn't be buying it. I'm just going to have it up in a box in my attic. So I got rid of a bunch of stuff, and I kept the stuff that just to me is essential. I just don't know where I would put that in here. And plus, sale barge is fine, but if I was going to get something that was that kind of scale, I would get a Falcon that was that size. That, now that might tempt me, but a sail barge, definitely not.
Yeah, when I looked at this, I thought, you know, I mean, obviously impressive. And Dan, the first thing I thought of was our collection sitting in the museum. And I thought this would be pretty epic looking in the museum, but it would definitely not be something that would be on display in my own home.
But I will tell you though, I do feel bad for the parents, because at the end of the day, Hasbro is a toy company and they do make toys for children, and not, you know, they're not all just collectors like all of us. So, you know, there's going to be a kid somewhere that puts this thing on his Christmas list, and some dad is going to be like, listen, I'm sorry, you can't have a $500 skiff.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap things up tonight with, it is just about March, and that is the time that it will be time for Star Wars The Last Jedi to come home to our own screens. The top movie of 2017 will be available on digital and Movies Anywhere on March 13, and on Blu-ray, and by the way, I've said this before, anytime I write Blu-ray, it's R-E-Y, sorry, it's almost unconscious, but thought I'd point that out since you can't all see my written script. We'll be on Blu-ray, 4K, Ultra HD, and regular Blu-ray on demand on March 27th. Of course, with the release of the film, there will be many extras and bonus items to come along. On the discs will be lots of behind the scenes, of course, in creating the film, as well as the deleted scenes, interviews with Rian Johnson on his personal journey in creating the film, and my personal hope is a lot of those photographs he took on his own camera, as well as his interpretation of the mythology of the Force, audio commentary by Rian Johnson, and there will be much, much more. There will be several different packages that include a multi-screen package, a 4K Ultra HD, and certain store exclusives will be included, as well with a collectible steel book, I believe that was at Best Buy, and a 40-page gallery book with Target's purchase. For details on all the exclusives and the different packages, check StarWars.com or just head right on over to Coffee with Kenobi's website for all those details.
Indeed. Well, obviously, we're all going to get this. I mean, did you see, was there one particular version? I mean, Best Buy always has the steel books. I never really gravitated towards the steel books, but, but I think knowing that there's a commentary by Rian Johnson, who I respect and admire so much, I think that would be an incredible, incredible thing to experience.
Yeah, so these documentaries, I think I almost look forward to more than I do the film, because they are just so, so incredible. The first one that we saw with the Force Awakens was unbelievably good. Like I've watched that like 10 times. And the first time I watched it, I cried like a baby, because the way that they just talk about the documentaries, the way they talk about the Star Wars franchise, the way that J.J. Abrams talks about the responsibility of having all the power in his hands. It's just, I loved it. It was just so, so beautiful. And if Disney didn't win me with the film, then they 100% won me with the documentaries. And I look forward to seeing those every single time. People kind of complained a little bit about the Rogue One documentary, but I thought it was equally as awesome. And I love seeing those. I can't wait to see what this one looks like, because Rian Johnson, man, it's no wonder that Kathleen Kennedy loves him so much, because like the way he talks about Star Wars just really gets me going. I love it. I can't wait to see what he has to say.
Did you say that people complained about the Rogue One documentary? I was not aware of that.
Maybe, I don't know. People always, there's always naysayers, man. Always naysayers. I just remember when the Rogue One documentary came out, I remember seeing something online on Reddit or something about someone complaining about it being not good. And I was like, what? And I was a little disappointed that it was not going to be good. So then I went and watched it, and I was like, yeah, that person was really wrong, whoever they were.
Wow. I have to confess, I have not seen a single one of those, and you just sold me.
Really?
No, I you know what? I don't own any of the DVDs since Revenge of the Sith, I guess. And I've just gotten them all digitally.
That's a good point. I guess if you buy them digitally, you don't get all that stuff.
Yeah. And I've never been one to sit and watch all the extras. Like I the first ones I remember people really talking about were the Lord of the Rings specials. And I have never gone back to look at those, but Corey, you have just totally sold me on wanting awesome. To watch those documentaries.
Well, these are different. They're not just like old DVD. I mean, there are deleted scenes and stuff where you have to like select the deleted scene, then it plays and it bounces you back to the menu. You have to select the next one. That's a pain in the butt. This is not like mm-hmm. that. This is like a solid hour and a half long documentary, one entire film. Like it's like something that would be on Discovery Channel. It's seriously good.
Wow. Sold.
Tom, thank you so much as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
We'll go ahead and take another break. And when we come back, we're going to talk with Corey a little bit more about his amazing Star Wars subscription service, Youtini. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Coffee with Kenobi was sponsored by the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. If you love Star Wars and love the excitement of chasing your favorite Star Wars collectibles, the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps is for you. Download the free app from iTunes or Google Play and collect your favorite images from the classic 1977 Star Wars cards to the Clone Wars, Star Wars Rebels, The Force Awakens, Rogue One, and now The Last Jedi. Collect and trade with friends new and old through the Star Wars digital card trader collecting app from Topps. These are the cards you're looking for. We are back and it is coffee chat time. So I would like to speak with Corey a little bit about Youtini, which is, you're the CEO, of course, and this is a Star Wars subscription service. So we will talk about kind of how this whole thing works. But before we get to that, tell us about kind of how your love affair with Star Wars began.
Sure. So I was I first got into Star Wars when I was a kid. As most of us did, my dad had these Laserdisc editions of Star Wars. A lot of people don't even remember what Laserdisc are. If you don't know what that is, Laserdisc is like this interesting technology that came about between VHS and DVDs. They're like records size, like vinyl records, and you'd have to flip them over in the middle of the movie. I had someone ask me a while back if I remember where the flip was. I have no idea. I was like 5 or 6 years old. But that was my first exposure to Star Wars was Empire and Return of the Jedi. And I think, if I remember correctly, I think that the Laserdisc of A New Hope was not called A New Hope yet. I think it was still just labeled as Star Wars, if I remember correctly.
Oh, that sounds well. 1981 is when it flipped over to say A New Hope.
Okay. So maybe it did say A New Hope, and I just can't remember. I was a kid,
right? So did you get all the action figures, and how did you kind of encounter Star Wars in your fandom?
Sure. So I sort of left Star Wars for a long time and then came back to it. When I watched those Laserdisc editions when I was a little kid. I don't think I really understood what exactly Star Wars was. It was just a cool movie, I think, as a kid. And they were on these weird discs, and I thought that was fascinating. But I really sort of left Star Wars, and it wasn't until much later that I really got back into it. When Phantom Menace came out, that was the first one I got to see in theaters. Obviously, I'm a little younger than a lot of you veteran guys, but I got to see Phantom Menace in theaters, and I think Attack of the Clones was the first one that I got to truly experience as sort of a true fan. I think I saw Attack of the Clones like 3 times in theaters, and I was in middle school. Maybe it was late elementary school when that happened. And then after I was like a diehard fan at that point is when I really discovered the books. I was in 7th or 8th grade. And I was on a shopping trip with my mom. I'm from like the boonies, Appalachia, like really in the woods, the middle of nowhere, Appalachia. It's like an hour from the closest shopping center. So it's like a big ordeal to go shopping. So we got drugged to, you know, the shopping center every time our parents would go. And my mother wanted to go in some shopping center, and it was in a strip mall. And there was a Barnes & Noble in the strip mall. And she just dropped me off. And I remember walking and just running into the Star Wars section in this Barnes & Noble, and it was just like so in your face. It was just so overwhelming. It was a whole wall. I mean, the Barnes & Noble section is big of Star Wars books. It's probably like one of the only sections in a bookstore entirely dedicated to a single franchise like this. I mean, it's just a really big wall of books. And I was just like, holy, what is this? Like, this is tons of Star Wars books. I don't understand that they all have these crazy covers on them. It was just completely overwhelming. So I just like sat there and flipped through the books, and I found that there's a timeline in the beginning of them, and I didn't know what it meant. And I didn't even know an expanded universe really existed at that point. And the first book I read was Invincible by Troy Denning, which is the last book in a 9-book series. So that was just, I picked one at random because I liked the cover. I didn't know what I was doing. And that really, really set me on my true Star Wars journey, was getting into the books.
That's cool. A lot of similar parallels to some of my experiences as well, which is real. That's cool. I mean, there's stuff which we all have in common as Star Wars fans, and then isn't it so fun? So you've got that. Somewhere along the lines, you got inspired to create something pretty amazing, and that is Youtini, a Star Wars subscription box service. Tell me kind of how that started.
Sure. So Youtini is a more or less a Star Wars book club. We send you books every single month. We make it really easy to keep up with the new books that are coming out. We have some other cool stuff that we can talk about. But I'll tell you a little bit more how I kind of get into this. I'm a medical student. Full-time. I'm a third-year medical student. I'm pursuing an MD degree, so I'll be a doctor after this is all said and done, hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm a third-year medical student, and I just took the first part of the board exam last summer. The board exam to become a doctor is a 3-part test. The first part you take after your second year, and it's a very long test. They dedicate 6 weeks of nothing but studying for it, and it was just – it's quite frankly just utter hell. I mean, it's like seriously 6 weeks of – really, really intense studying. I think I was studying like 15, 16 hours a day, like solidly for this test. It might be the hardest test on the planet. And it was about that time in the middle of all that suffering that I realized just how far behind I was on the Star Wars books. Like they had just announced the Battlefront book, Inferno Squad, was coming out. Thrawn book came out that summer. Phasma came out. And I was just like missing these releases. Like I just didn't even hear about them. I was in my own world. And I kind of noticed that had started to happen when I went to medical school. As I really just got behind on keeping up with the releases. I mean, you really got to be on top of it if you really want every single book. Like you really have to stay on top of it. And there's a couple of good websites that really keep that updated information where you can go and there's like just a straight up list of what's coming out and their dates. But a lot of them are not updated frequently. It's kind of hard to stay on top of it. The point is I just got really behind in the books. So I was like, there's gotta be a better way to do this. Like Amazon already has my credit card. Why can't I just tell them I want every single Star Wars book and they just send it to me as this release? But unfortunately it doesn't work like that. You have to pre-order them and find the dates, and it's a big pain in the butt. So I was like, I can't be alone in this endeavor. I know that there are tons of working adults that just don't have time to pay attention to this type of stuff that when books are coming out. So I was like, how can I fix this? That was the original mission that we set out to solve, was let's get everybody the newest releases right when they come out.
And so is it specifically Del Rey, or is it any, because Disney obviously has a lot of great novels as well.
Sure. Yeah. So for anybody that's not super familiar with the publishing system in Star Wars, you kind of have two big platforms. Basically, you have Penguin Random House, who is an enormous publisher, and Del Rey is a subsidiary of Penguin Random House, and they publish all of the adult novels. So, and they've been publishing them for decades. Like all the Legends books are all Del Rey, so they have all the adult novels. But there are a whole other class of novels. There's young adult novels, and there's kids books, and most of those are published by Disney Lucasfilm Press. And another publisher, Hachette Group, is who makes the money, who distributes those books. And so we have contracts with both of them, with Del Rey and with Disney Lucasfilm Press. So we will get all of the main books that we're pushing right now are the all the new books, which would be Del Rey books, but also the young adult books. So like Ahsoka, Lost Stars. Some of the Rogue One books, a lot of those are young adult books, which are very borderline being young adult books. I mean, some of them are pretty adult in content anyway. So to answer your question, we have both.
which is cool, which is really, really cool. What has the reaction been like so far?
We've gotten a really, really good response. And people are really excited. A lot of people have sent us messages and just been like, yeah, this is exactly what I needed. I can't stay on top of the books. Like, it's so easy. I mean, we're really kind of pushing a really hands-off approach to getting the books. Basically, you sign up and then you don't have to think about it anymore. You're going to get the newest novel like within a couple of days of its release, like on a monthly basis almost. So we've gotten really, really good response so far.
And I remember when I first heard of this, you had emailed the show, and of course we chatted a little bit and had a great conversation, and you were kind enough to send a sample, which we were able to do a review of for our website or for our YouTube channel. I have the first Thrawn book that you sent over, and I mean I already had it, of course, but this is a new version, new paperback version. And they're great. Obviously, these books are awesome anyway. But I just really appreciate the care that you've put into these things. I mean, with it alone is worth the price of admission, because you have a really nice map that shows the entire, basically a layout of, and I just thought it was really, really great. So kudos to you, sir.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I think we're the first people to do that. I know that Del Rey has a website timeline. It's just like a horizontal timeline, but unfortunately only the Del Rey titles are on there. So I think we're the first people to put together this really nice visual canon timeline. And what Dan is talking about, for anybody out there, is every one of our packages has Utini magazine in it. It's 8.5 by 5.5 inch magazine, 20 pages long, and there's all kinds of really cool stuff in there. And like, we've gotten an enormous amount of positive feedback about the magazine. People really like it. It's got cool commentary in it. We have stuff about the author. We have an up-to-date canon timeline in there with all the book covers on in the big picture of Star Wars. And it's super cool. The magazine itself is almost worth the subscription, in my opinion.
Oh, I totally agree. It's a great resource. And I use Star Wars, of course, all the time. We all do, but I use it a little bit in different ways for the show and different things I do when I'm writing. And to help your subscription service, how does that work? And I know there are different levels, so tell us about
that. Sure, sure. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up too, because we've mostly been talking about the canon stuff. So that was the original problem that we set out to solve, was getting people the canon books right as they're released. But we very quickly recognized that there's a need for just Star Wars books in general. So we do have lots of other subscriptions. We have a canon subscription only. We have a legend subscription only. We have a combination of legends and canon books. You get two books every month. That one's called the Master Bag. We also have a couple of unique things. Like, there's one called a newcomer bag, which is a 12-month subscription. If you've never read a Star Wars book, this one's perfect, because it has we really put a lot of thought into this and carefully thought about what books you should read first and what order you should read first. And there's some really good ones in there. The first one is a young adult novel, Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. It's a canon book and is, in my opinion, one of the best books that's been written, period, in Star Wars, canon or legends. But that series, it's got a lot of really cool books in it. We have a couple other smaller bags with different themes and that sort of thing. But how it works is you go to our site and you become a subscriber. It's a monthly fee. You pay every single month, and we send you a book or two books, whatever you subscribe to, every single month. And you can pay for it in advance, 3 months, 6 months, 12 months in advance, all at one time. There's discounts at each level. But the really cool thing is our bookshelf, and we've gotten so much good feedback about this thing. So the Utini bookshelf is 100% free to use. It's a Star Wars book collection tracker. So you can go to utini.com and click book tracker at the top there, and it takes you to this really cool visual collection tracking tool. So you can log in and create an account. Like I said, this is free to use. This is not just subscribers. But you can log in and create an account and record your existing Star Wars collection. And if you haven't seen this tool yet, you really need to go see it. We put a lot of money and a lot of effort into this, and it looks awesome. It's got all the book covers in there, the authors, where they fall in the timeline. And it has most of the books, too. Like, we have a lot of young readers' books, graphic novels, reference books. It's super cool. And if you enter your collection into this as a subscriber, we can see that as the company. We can see your existing collection, which means it's really easy for us to never send you a book that you already own. But like, let me just reiterate that. Like, if you become a legend subscriber, for example, those books have been around for a long time, and you enter your collection into the collection tracker, I can see what Legends books you own and always send you a book you never own. Like every single month, you'll never get something you already have on your shelf as long as it's recorded in our book tracker. And that, in my opinion, is really what makes Youtini stand out, is because we've built this system that not only gets you all the books as they come out, but they also have created a system in which if you're a Star Wars book collector, it's really easy to sign up and just gradually complete your collection.
That, to me, that is huge. I mean, I of course have all of these books, and so that's sort of the challenge, because you don't want to get stuff you've already gotten. Obviously, a lot of your regulars are going to be people who already have a substantial library. So what you want to do is you want to add to it and make it more convenient to be able to get the good stuff. I mean, honestly, and I like how you explain that. Why can't Amazon just have a way that you can just get every Star Wars book? Well, now, because of Youtini, you can. So, Corey, this is really, really cool. So go ahead and tell us again how people can subscribe, and we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Sure, sure, sure. So you can go to youtini.com to subscribe and check us out. That's youtini.com. One more thing I will mention too. If we're really trying to build a community at Youtini. Like, we really want to have a fairly large team to really bring a lot of cool stuff to the table. And if you're a writer or a programmer or a developer, or you have some cool skill that you think that would really bring a lot of value to the team, you should reach out to us, because we would love to talk and see if we can find a place for you. We've had a lot of people reach out and be interested in writing and those sorts of things. And this could be a really cool opportunity as a unique way for people to get involved in the community, which is really what we're trying to do. I'm not expecting to get rich by making Star Wars books. I'm going to be a doctor. I mean, I don't like to drop that card, but like, I'm not trying to become a millionaire by selling Star Wars books. I'm really just trying to provide a cool and unique service that also makes a little bit of money on the side. So if you have something else that you would like to bring to the table and be part of this community, any listeners of Coffee with Kenobi out there, we've got a really cool, unique discount code for you guys. It's if during checkout, when you go to Youtini and you become a subscriber, during the checkout, if you enter CWK family, that'll give you $5 off your first month. It's a pretty generous discount, I think. And hopefully that'll be a nice reward for all your loyal listeners out there, Dan. Definitely check us out. It's youtini.com. You can visit us on the web. If you have any questions, you can contact me directly on our website, and I'll be happy to help.
Definitely, Coffee with Kenobi family members, be sure to take advantage of that, because it is a great service. We'll go ahead and take our last break, and when we return, we will find out where to find more of Corey and Aaron in Star Wars fandom. This is Coffee with Kenobi.
Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are the podcast you're looking for. This is...
Before we get to email, I want to thank our CWK sponsors, Wink, Harry's Razors, and the Star Wars Digital Card Trader Collecting app from Topps. Please support them the way they support our podcast. And remember to listen to new and archive shows of Coffee with Kenobi wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, Spreaker, Overcast, Blog Talk Radio, Player FM, or our website, www.coffeewithkenobi.com. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest, and Tumblr, and we'd love for you to check us out there. Be sure to listen to our CWK family of shows too, including Legends Library, Rebels Reactions, Comics with Kenobi, and Lattes with Leia. Please leave a review for each of their shows as well, and be sure to subscribe to each of them individually, as they all have their own iTunes feeds now. A huge thank you to Aaron Harris and Corey Helton for joining us today. Where can listeners find each of you and your contributions to Star Wars fandom?
Sure, sure. So you can find us on youtini.com. That's youtini.com. You can follow us on Twitter at youtini_US. Same thing on Instagram, and you can just find us on Facebook as Youtini.
And you can find me many places in the Twitterverse. Of course, you can follow me personally at T.A. Harris, 121079. Of course, Rebels Reactions is the show I host, where we review all the episodes of Rebels. We're on Twitter at Rebels Reactions. Make sure you subscribe to the iTunes feed, because we are going to be knocking out these final few episodes. And if the upcoming episodes are anything like this week, it's going to be a roller coaster of emotions. So check us out.
As will we, and we want to thank each and every one of you for listening to and supporting Coffee with Kenobi and for contributing to Star Wars Conversation. We will be back next week with two new co-hosts, and more Star Wars talk. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
There's no one here. Move along.